Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report, live and underway on the Big X Sports Radio. Don't forget, we're live each weekday here on the Big X, 1450 AM, 96.1 FM if you're in Kentuckiana. Of course, if you're outside of our broadcast area, you can stream us online live at BigXSportsRadio.com, and our podcasts are available shortly after the show concludes at noon each day. It's Thursday, which means Lee Kelly is with me. Lee, today we get to try to track down where Archie Miller and his staff have been last night and so far this morning. A lot of things going for a dead time, as most call it, of July with basketball and all the recruiting stuff and the tournaments underway. Also, later on, when we get to the guest lineup, we'll tell you about a coach we're going to check in on some local high school footballs. We slowly start to bring that back into the routine because that season, Lee Kelly, is just around the corner.
Not too far away. I cannot believe we're approaching the middle of July. The year has flown by as it does every year, and it gets worse. But the good news is there's not a lot of downtime, it seems like, between high school baseball and high school football, and we're right back into the sports that I dearly love at the high school level.
Absolutely, Lee. We've spent a lot of time together this week out at the ballpark. It's always fun in this slower time of sports for the Big X to get out to the Little League Park. We have had a tradition now for a number of years of broadcasting some of the big games from District 5. This year it worked out where we've been able to do semifinal baseball games this week. We'll have championship baseball games on Friday. Another night at the park tonight, 5:30 will be on the air. This is the interesting division, though, the main division, I always like to phrase it, in Little League Baseball. The 12-year-olds, major division, it's the one that you can go all the way to Williamsport and play for the World Series championship, which is a great prize for those young kids, just the experience that some of this brings. Tonight at 5:30, New Albany, who is a favorite, perhaps, in this tournament, they take on Silver Creek. Jeffersonville GRC would be the other favorite. They take on Highlander Youth Recreation. So we have a Final Four set, at least locally, and we'll be on the air at 5:30 with both games tonight. No matter, and we've had some games that haven't even lasted a full six innings because, and that's the regulation in Little League Baseball, because of the difference in the score. They have, you know, rules to keep things within reason. If you're up 10 after four innings, it's a shortened game but completed game and the game's over. But even though it's still been enjoyable to be at the park, it's a beautiful new facility, and you hate to see kids get beat, obviously, and you hate when they're not that competitive and get beat maybe by a number of runs, but it's still fun to see these kids advance. This is a highlight of the summer, and it's community-based. It's not travel. You're not playing for some team with kids from all over the state, going to a tournament way far away, spending a lot of money. It's local Little League Baseball, and it's a lot of fun to see these kids take pride in representing their community.
You know, the other side for me, it seems like every game we do every night we're at Little League, people come up to me that were in my class years ago and say, hey, do you remember me? And I remember them once they tell me their name because I am the world's worst at remembering names. So that's an added plus for me to be at the ballpark. I get to talk to a lot of people I haven't seen probably since graduation night. And it's just a lot of fun. Get to see some kids. Their levels of ability are quite different at that age, 10-year-old, 11-year-old. 12-year-olds, begin to see. They know what they're doing out there and their expertise much better. But a lot of fun for me to be out there as well.
Let's take a look at the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Joining us today in segment two, we'll have Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. Our chat with Alex is presented by CC Power Sports. And, of course, you know, with Alex today, we're going to be recapping all that we know about last night's kickoff to the first of three windows, 5-day windows for college coaches to be out on the road. We know Archie Miller was at the Peach Jam last night. We know he's back there again this morning, and we'll try to keep you up to date with everything we know, and Alex, of course, is a great source for that. He'll be with us to talk basically about all about the July recruiting period and how that has begun for IU targets and for IU coaches. Then, later in the show, Brian Gleasing, the new head coach at Floyd Central. That's going to take some time to get used to. I'm so used to associating Coach Gleasing with the green and gold of Floyd Central, but he took the job at Jeffersonville when it came open over the offseason, and he's preparing to his team for the first season as the boss of the Red Devils football program. He'll be with us later in the hour, as each Thursday between now and kickoff of the high school football season, Lee Kelly and I will have an area football coach with us on Thursdays to talk about their program and team for the upcoming season. And don't forget that this all will culminate in early August. We'll be out at Zaxby's in New Albany with every head coach and with many of the top players from the area on Wednesday, August 8th for our Zaxby's High School football kickoff show from 7 to 9 p.m. That's always fun. It signals that the season is not just coming up, but at that point, it's basically here. The scrimmages will be a couple days later for all the teams that will be with us, and then that next Friday, they'll begin play. But put that on your calendar. Don't forget a great night to celebrate the return of Southern Indiana High School football coming up on Wednesday, August 8th. That's a look at the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison and get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Where's Archie Miller? Where's the IU coaching staff? Archie started the day at the Under Armour event watching a player named Samari Curtis, who back in the spring was committed to Xavier but has now reopened his recruitment. So now Indiana getting an opportunity to pay a little more attention to him. And then Archie later in the evening last night made his way to the Nike Peach Jam for the opportunity to watch the Indy Heat team in action. That's Trace Jackson Davis, Keon Brooks, Isaiah Stewart, and others. IU assistant coach Ed Schilling, he was watching some players, obviously, last night. Assistant coaches Tom Ostrom and Bruiser Flint, they were also at the Peach Jam last night. So at one point last night, there were some big games later in the evening at the Peach Jam with a lot of different IU targets playing at the same time on multiple courts. And at one point last night, you would have had three IU coaches in the building to try to track these prospects. And at this point, with some of the 2019 guys, more than anything, just make your presence known. And a look at last night's games as far as Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks and some of the more notable players go, their team lost 71-67 to a very good Oakland Soldiers team from California. And I can't claim to have followed the EYBL and some of the travel teams as closely as some do, but I do understand that the pool that Spies Indy Heat will begin in at the Peach Jam is a very tough draw. They've got a lot of really good teams that have had good EYBL seasons that they're going to have to go against if they want to advance on in the Peach Jam. Last night, Trace Jackson Davis, he had 13 points. He was 5 of 14 from the field, 9 rebounds, 2 blocks, and played 32 minutes for the Indy Heat team. Keon Brooks, not as good of night last night for him. He was just 1 of 5 from the field. He did hit 10 of 12 free throws, however, and was able to score 10 of his 12 points from the charity stripe. So he made up for that with some free throws at the line. Also, Isaiah Stewart last night, he plays on that same Indy Heat team. He had a double-double, 11 points, 11 rebounds, and actually he does not play for that same team. His team were winners last night, 64-59 over Expressions Elite. Isaiah Stewart playing with the City Rocks. He's originally from New York, but he plays at LaPorte La Lemire, and I think he's played with the Indy Heat at times maybe in the past because of his connection to things up in LaPorte. But nonetheless, a number of prospects down at the Peach Jam. That's the A1 headline event, and I said Lee Kelly yesterday on this show a couple times, of all the basketball things that I've been able to attend, that's the one that I always had on my bucket list. I could see the Hoosier Report being live from the Peach Jam maybe one day, or down there doing some shows, getting updates on all this firsthand. But now with what's up in the air as far as what the future holds for future months of recruiting in July, college coaches may not be able to attend the Peach Jam. Who knows if the Peach Jam will even be around? We're at a real crossroads with that stuff.
It's going to be interesting. Apparently, there are going to be changes. You follow it a lot closer than I do, but even I, on the outside, have heard rumblings about certain things that might change, could change, will change. I don't know if it's for the better or for the worse. Hard to tell at this point, but apparently it is going to change in some regard.
I do want to note also at the Peach Jam last night, Armand Franklin of Indianapolis Cathedral, Brandon Newman, formerly of Valpo, who announced last week he will skip his senior year at Valpo and go prep the prep route down in Florida. They both play for Mean Streets out of Chicago. They were defeated in their opener 83-67 by the New York Lightning. Did not see any individual stats for those players, but both of those guys obviously hold IU scholarship offers, and they are in action. IU coaches watching them last night as well. Here's a real interesting deal, and everybody wants to know, when you think about the team for next season, what is Romeo Langford going to be able to do? Fans that followed his high school career know how dominant he was and the type of player he was. And in college basketball these days, there are ratings and projections for everything. And there actually is a guy that does projections on players and what their stats will be for next season. Now, what the model is, and again, this is just something kind of as a teaser to keep you interested in things, but he has Romeo Langford next season averaging 14.6 points a game, 4.5 rebounds, and 2.1 assists per game. This is his 2019 projected contributors and stats list. And again, I've not looked in it enough to know how he projects this stuff down to 14.6 and 4.5 and 2.1, let alone knowing any round numbers in that. But interesting to see. And again, that is the question, Lee Kelly. And I know we get it a lot being from New Albany, but Romeo had a great career. People always wonder, even though a great high school player did so well against competition here in the state, how will they do against Big Ten level bodies and Big Ten level upperclassmen that freshmen will play against? And I feel confident that in what we know in Romeo's game, he will be ready, especially with the work he's doing off the court, maybe to get his body a little bit more prepared for those type of battles each night in Big Ten conference play especially. But it is interesting to think about, will he carry over and be a top scorer like he was every year in his career at New Albany High School? Will he be able to put together some of the amazing double-doubles and even triple-doubles at times that he was able to do in high school? Big differences between the high school game, even at the 4A level, even in a good state like Indiana, and Big Ten basketball, there's no question about it. And if I was a betting man, I'd put a lot of money on Romeo Langford.
I would too, but having watched him play and watched this young man for 4 years, he puts so much emphasis on winning as opposed to individual stats. That I don't know that you can really project what he's going to do, because I always thought in high school that he did whatever was needed. And some nights he was needed more than other nights for New Albany to be successful. So at IU, I've got to believe if one of the other players on the floor with him has a hot hand, he'll find a way to get the ball to them. And possibly sacrifice his points, rebounds, assists, whatever.
Our Hoosier headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Reel continue. Back into some recruiting notes. Trendon Watford from Alabama, the younger brother of Christian Watford. According to Jeff Goodman, he is not expected to play at the Peach Jam, which is a bummer. That's another big IU target that I'm sure the coaches would be all over if his team, the Georgia Stars, were playing in that event. According to his father, and this is Jeff Goodman reporting, Watford tweaked his knee in an open gym earlier in the week and, again, is expected to miss the Peach Jam. He'll be back next evaluation period next week and the third period as well. I think next week he's supposed to play in a tournament, and then the following week out in L.A. and Vegas to close the month of July. Another recruiting note, Isaiah Stewart, we mentioned him playing last night with the City Rocks from Albany, New York. He attends high school at LaPorte La Lemire. He cut his list to top 10 yesterday. Georgetown, Syracuse, Notre Dame, Villanova, Michigan State, Duke, Texas, Louisville, Washington, and the Indiana Hoosiers making his top 10 graphic that he released. He obviously has lots of interest from lots of different schools at this point. Indiana involved with him. He's been on Indiana's campus, and he makes their way, for whatever it's worth, onto a list of a top 10 for Isaiah Stewart, who, again, is playing at the Peach Jam as well. Where is Archie Miller this morning? As of about an hour ago, per Jeff Rabjohns, Coach Miller and staff were at the Six Courts for the Nike Peach Jam. Games at the Peach Jam will run as of earlier this morning until 11 o'clock tonight. So lots of action on six different courts. And again, with the way transportation is and with the location of some of these tournaments, don't be surprised as the day goes on if you don't see Archie and some of the other assistants' names pop up at other events. The Adidas event up in New York City, that's right down in Brooklyn at a facility right there by the Brooklyn Bridge, it gets underway today as well. A lot of big games there for Adidas prospects, so I'm sure that at some point somebody will be there, if not multiple coaches for Indiana as well. A couple other quick notes. OG Anunoby, huge NBA Summer League game last night in Las Vegas. He had 22 points, 4 rebounds, 1 block as the Raptors won. They advance on to the next round of the playoffs. Love how they do the Summer League. It's always a bracket when you get to that point. And kind of like college, it's a do-or-die situation. And the Raptors win. Big-time performance again from OG Anunoby, who I become more and more confident in his ability to put together a very, very nice NBA career. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopsters Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar, best place to watch sports as well by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, it's where fun happens. We'll head out to a commercial break. When we come back, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, presented by CC Power Sports, joins us. We'll talk all about the July recruiting period, which is now underway, where IU's coaches are at, where we think they'll be, and who some of the top targets are and how they performed last night, and maybe even some of them this morning. Coming up next with Alex, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back to talk all about the Nike Peach Jam event and the July recruiting periods, including this first window. Two more to come with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. Our chat with Alex each week is presented by CC Power Sports. They have two locations serving Indiana and Kentucky. One is in Clarksville. That's the mothership store, so to speak. They carry Indian, Victory, Slingshot, Polaris, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Honda, KTM, Yamaha, Kawasaki, and Suzuki. The Louisville store is right off of Interstate 65 in southern Jefferson County. They carry Kawasaki, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Yamaha, and Suzuki. New riders welcome, and of course, racers always welcome at CC Power Sports. Alex, I feel like we're playing a game of Where's Waldo, but instead it's Where's Archie, trying to track him and the IU assistant coaches across the country. Although in this first window, a lot of those guys, it sure seems like, will spend a lot of time at the Nike Peach Jam.
Absolutely. I mean, that's, as I wrote this morning when I kind of did a roundup of some of the stats, the more notable performances for the IU related guys from yesterday. I mean, that's one of the prominent events of the summer, and I heard you guys talking in the first segment. It'll be really interesting to see, I think, in the coming years if the Peach Jam is actually still a thing. I've actually never had a chance to make it down there. We usually have a freelancer that goes down there for us every year. And like you, Matt, I was hoping at some point I would get a chance to go down there and take in the event. But it sounds like with some of these changes that are being proposed, maybe it's not going to be as prominent as it's been in the past years. But yeah, I mean, this is a critical time for college coaches, just as April is. I think at this point they probably have a pretty good idea of guys that they are targeting for the 2019 class. So in a lot of cases, it's making sure that these guys know that you're at their games and you want to be seen by the kids as well as seeing them. So for 2019, I think that's really the focus. And then in the classes beyond that, I think it's a good opportunity to check out some of the younger guys and kind of make your priority list for the future classes and try to get some guys on campus for visits in the fall.
I think that's a good place to start as we look back at night one and talk about what's going to happen today and through the weekend in this first window for coaches to be out. You've really got a mix of things going on, and it kind of depends, I think, as well, what level of a Division I school you're at. If you're at Indiana and you're Archie Miller, the 2019 guys, I think you were spot on. You pretty much know who you want. You pretty much have a pecking order maybe of those guys and the order that you'd like to get them based on position needs and just simply who is playing well. That can always change during this month as players' stock rises or maybe drops a little bit. Younger guys for a high major school, they're going to be trying to figure out who they want to offer, begin to prioritize those 2020-2021 kids. But if you're a mid-major, an Indiana State, a Ball State, a Valpo, an Evansville, an Eastern Kentucky, a Moorhead State, I'm thinking about the mid-majors that have been successful from the state of Indiana and Kentucky at times. This month, you can kind of have an idea who you want, but you're kind of scrapping around looking for leftovers maybe that are on high major radars but drop off a little bit or for whatever reason, fall through the cracks. So it's probably much more of an opportunity for those guys to maybe evaluate players that at this point they really hadn't seen.
Yeah, and the other thing with those schools is a lot of times you'll hear stories of coaches like hoping that their guys they're looking at that, you know, kind of under the radar that nobody else sees them, right? Because like a year ago at this time, nobody had really recruited or seen much of DJ Carton, and he blew up at this time last year, and now all of a sudden all these Big Ten schools are in the mix for him and trying to land him. And so for those schools, it's not only trying to find these under the radar gems, it's also if they've already found one, it's hoping that, you know, if there's a really good kid. I mean, because we see this every year in the tournament, right? There's guys who end up at these smaller schools that could easily play at the Big Ten level. Some of them end up being grad transfers, some of them end up, you know, getting kind of discovered at these events, and they kind of blow up and they make their way to a big name school. So these schools, not only is it important for them to find these under the cover of gyms, they're, I think some of them are probably hoping, you know, there's a kid that they have in mind that they've watched for a while. They're just hoping that the kid doesn't really blow up and have an Indiana or another school like that take an interest in them, because that can be a death sentence. If you're a Ball State and there's a kid that you really like and you think he's good enough to play anywhere and you've been tracking him, and then all of a sudden he has a great July and all these schools come in, that's problematic for you, because more times than not, if a kid has an opportunity to go to a Big Ten school, he's not going to go to a mid-major.
Alex, let me ask you. We talk about coaches have to see these players and be seen by the players and get phone calls, text messages, and whatever. It almost makes all of these players sound like a little bit of a prima donna, in that if the coach doesn't show up or, you know, text him or show interest, that he just kind of backs away from that program because he's not being praised enough or not being highlighted enough. Is that the case?
Yeah. Well, I think it depends on the kid and the situation and who's around the kid. For a kid like Romeo Langford, I don't think it was the case of if a school missed a game or something, I don't think it was they were going to be taking that against the school or holding it against them. Now, there are kids, I'm sure, that kind of have parents that maybe keep a list of how many times the school watches them or which game they were at. I mean, that's probably a thing that actually does happen. To what extent, I think it's on a case by case basis. But yeah, I mean, I can see how you look at it like that. But the other thing I think is important here is these other schools are looking for any ammunition they can to kind of stab each other in the back or go against each other, right? So if, say, school A is at every game for a kid and school B is only at 75%, I think school A is going to point out to the prospect that school B was only there 75% of the time. So that's kind of like keeping attendance for class, right? I mean, you want to be there every time if you want to get the best grade. And the same thing goes for recruiting. If you really want a kid, you're going to be there as much as possible. And I think if you're not there as much as another school, you're putting yourself at a disadvantage. And you're opening yourself up for, the other school to kind of point that out to the kids. Hey, well, they were only there 50% of the time. How bad do they really want you? We were there the whole time. That's how bad we want you. And I mean, in recruiting, only one school wins, right? You don't get any bonus points for finishing second or third. So you're looking for any advantage you can. So I think if you're going to go all in on a kid, you need to be there as much as possible. And, you can really only do that probably for three or four kids based on how your staff is spread out. And with these events this week, I mean, you've got events, three or four events all across the country. So you really have to have an idea of who you want, and you have to be efficient with your planning and your travel schedule to make sure you're there for the guys that you really want to prioritize.
So what you're telling me is a few of the coaches might have mentioned to prospects that Kansas and Maryland got a letter from the NCAA here in the last few days.
Right. I mean, I think anything, I've heard college coaches talk to them at these events and different things that, negative recruiting is out there. And I'm not saying that all schools do it, but some do. And like I said, anything that they can do to kind of make themselves look better. now, there's probably some kids that don't like that aspect of it. There's probably some parents that don't enjoy that either. I've actually had parents tell me before, when talking to them about different schools and not Indiana specifically, but other schools that, maybe that they tried to say bad things about other schools instead of focusing on what they had to sell, and that rubbed them the wrong way. I just think, relationships are so important in recruiting. You kind of have to know what's going to work and what's not going to work with each kid. And if you make a misstep along the way, you can really do damage to your recruitment of a kid. Because like I said, I mean, these high-level kids, these top 25, five-star type kids, everybody wants them. And only one school is going to win. And you really have to know what you're doing in terms of building these relationships to be successful in recruiting. And that's why these guys are making the money that they are. I mean, they're the best in the business at what they do. And, that's recruiting is the lifeblood of any program, right? You stop getting recruits into your program and you're pretty much done as a college coach. As we saw with Tom Crean towards the end, his recruiting just became so inconsistent and all over the map. And that was one of the reasons he was unable to sustain, any success year over year. He'd have a good year and then a down year. And I think recruiting was a big part of that. So, to answer your question, I'm sure the FBI stuff is still being discussed with these kids and being talked about and being mentioned. Any advantage you can get, you're going to try to take it.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, presented by CC Power Sports. Before we get into some of the happenings last night at the Peach Jam, in this show, Lee asked a great question about coaches, coming to watch and, do parents keep lists, you mentioned, and I'm sure that does happen at times. It would probably really surprise all of us if we knew exactly what happened with some of this stuff. And then earlier in the show today, I was talking about Isaiah Stewart announcing his top 10. Players used to cut their list. They'd have a graphic to announce it that was really nice looking, and it was a big deal. Now people are having top list and not their final list, right? And the list are 15, 20 schools long at times. And the fact that we talk about all this, I think it's really unbelievable where the recruiting side of college basketball and college football has went. There was a time where there were plenty of sports talk shows and plenty of publications, I guess maybe this predates the internet somewhat, where those sports were talked about and those sports were covered die hard for fans. Now recruiting is covered die hard for fans. It's really amazing where recruiting is at, how much coverage is given to that, how much attention is given to that in general.
Yeah, I mean, this part of the country, I mean, with Louisville, Kentucky, and Indiana, the fans are obviously very, very in tune to what's going on with basketball recruiting. And you could probably say the same thing for the South in terms of, like, SEC football recruiting. There's, you know, team sites down there that are covering these football camps and writing about all these kids, and that's probably all they talk about this time of year is recruiting and then football. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that just continues to take off, and there's more interest in it than ever, it feels like. Now, in a lot of ways, I think it's somewhat hard to differentiate when a kid only announces a top 10 or a top 15. I mean, if that's not a list cut, I mean, to me, that you're not really telling us much. I mean, now some of these kids may have 30 or 40 scholarship offers. A kid like Isaiah Stewart very well could, but, you know, I'm watching for things like when a kid visits campus, you know, if a kid's really seriously considering a school, they're going to take a visit at some point, right? So if somebody says the school's in their top 10, but they've never been to campus or they don't have a visit scheduled, I can't really take serious how interested they are in that school. Now, when kids start making visits and doing in-home things like that, I think that indicates a more serious level of interest. And that's the kind of thing I try to watch for when I'm covering recruiting is, you know, a kid gets an offer, but if they never make it to campus for a visit, then, you know, they're probably not going to end up at that school. There's not many instances where a kid's going to commit to a school or sight unseen on a visit. So that's the thing I try to look at, you know, like you said, with the internet and social media, all these people, all these kids making graphics and all this stuff, it's, you know, it gives us something to talk about, gives us something to write about. So kind of when you get down to the nuts and bolts and you're trying to figure out who really wants who, I think the things you have to look for are, when is a kid actually going to visit a school? And that kind of gives you a better idea of how interested they actually are in the school.
Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, our guest. Last night, Trace Jackson Davis, 13 points. Keon Brooks, 10 points. Those are obviously two big names that fans want to hear about because not only has Indiana been recruiting them basically since Archie Miller arrived in Bloomington, but they're both in-state guys as well. I'm looking at a list, and I'm reading this from your website, coaches in the crowd. This is head coaches at the Indy Heat game last night. Whether they were there to watch guys on the Indy Heat team like Trace and Keon or perhaps the team they were playing because they were obviously very good too from Oakland, California. Head coaches from North Carolina, Kentucky, Colorado State, Grand Canyon, Purdue, UCSB, what is that?
UC Santa Barbara.
Santa Barbara, Southern Cal, Santa Clara, Central Florida, UAB, Oregon State, Memphis, Western Michigan, Long Beach State, San Diego State, and Indiana. That kind of sums up the coaching crowds at some of these games. If it's a big matchup, you won't just see the assistant coaches packed in, and for every head coach, there were probably three assistant coaches there. But for the big matchups with a lot of high major players like what was in that game that Indy Heat played last night, that's the type of crowds of head coaches you'll attract.
Yeah, and you're also talking about most of these cases, a lot of these teams have, what, five or six, maybe more Division I players. And so some of those smaller schools, I think Speece Indy Heat played Oakland Soldiers last night, so that's probably why there were so many West Coast schools. And Oakland Soldiers, obviously one of the premier programs in the EYBL circuit, but school like Indiana, obviously we know who they were there for. But yeah, I mean, it's these events, I think that's one reason that the proposed changes have been met with so much criticism in these regional camps, because from an efficiency standpoint in recruiting, if you're a high major school going to the Peach Jam, I mean, you can see all your main targets. Whereas if they do this, you know, regional camp type setup where they have, you know, maybe five or six regional camps across the country, you're not going to have the same level of competition in terms of the games and where kids are going to be. And it's going to make things, I think, a little bit more inefficient and harder for coaches to deal with the schedule, but we'll see how that all ends up. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty fascinating to follow, you know, which coaches are at which games. I think that's one of the more topical things to discuss this time of year.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, always with us Thursdays, presented by CC Power Sports. Stop into CC Power Sports with locations in Clarksville and across the river in southern Jefferson County for parts, vehicle sales, and all servicing needs for street and off-road motorcycles, side-by-sides, ATVs, and personal watercraft. Summer is here, so visit CC Power Sports and let the fun begin. Alex, thanks so much for the chat. Keep up the good work tracking all of the coaches and the recruiting activities. And we'll talk with you next week after the first window has closed and the second window has begun. It'll be fun, and we appreciate your time.
Yep. Have a good day, gentlemen. Thank you.
Don't forget, Lee Kelly and I, Tom Wendt as well, at the Little League Park tonight for the 12-year-old baseball semifinals. New Albany and Silver Creek play at 5:30. We're back at 8 o'clock tonight for Jeff GRC and Highlander Youth Recreation, covering some of the future stars, you could say, from our local area. And we will be at New Albany Little League starting at 5:30 tonight. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Jeffersonville head football coach Brian Gleasing as our preview of Southern Indiana high school football each Thursday continues this week with the new Red Devils coach. That chat is coming up next here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
One of the names that's been around Southern Indiana high school football for years will have a new home, leading a new program when he runs out onto the field for the first game of the 2018 season. Brian Gleasing, after a number of years at Floyd Central, and of course previous to that at Clarksville, is the new head coach at Jeffersonville. He takes over as immediately. He's been working with his team over the summer with lots of practices and other activities going on. And Coach Gleasing, glad to catch up with you, this time as a Red Devil.
Well, thanks for having me, Matt. It's exciting to be a Jeff Red Devil.
Coach, I want to, before we even talk about your team and what's transpired over the summer, and I know you're trying to do a quick study and figure out as much as you can in a short window of time, what about the Jeffersonville job after a number of years at Floyd Central and, again, Clarksville previous to that? What made you think, hey, this might be an opportunity that I want to pursue?
Well, Matt, I've lived in Jeffersonville for the past 6 years. A lot of I'm originally from Indianapolis. And the Jeffersonville community, what they've done with the city, and I like the direction of the school corporation. I like the direction of everything that's been going on with Mrs. Strait, the principal, and Mr. Satterley, the athletic director. I just think it was a perfect time and a perfect opportunity to try to take Jeff football on into the future. I think it was just an opportunity that I couldn't turn down. My drive to work is about 20 minutes less now, and like I said, I've loved the Jeff community, and I've loved everything. It's great just to be down here and working with these kids.
Brian Gleasing, head coach at Jeffersonville football, is our guest. Is it safe to say, Coach, in all of the summers that you've had working with your teams over the years, that given your situation of taking this job a little late into the off season, this might be one of your most important summers ever as a head coach?
Yeah, I think so. I think, in every situation you take over, it's different. This is the fourth situation that we've taken over as a program. And everyone's, everyone's a little different. Every school's a little different. All the athletes are a little different. What's different about, Jeffersonville is that, we have really gone back to basics. We want to, we're taking this real slow. We understand that, we're in this for the long haul. We're in this for the long term. And, we are going to make sure we establish the foundation this summer and on into this season. And we need to establish, attitude, character, and effort. Those three things is we want to develop great habits in our kids. And that's what we're really focusing on this first summer on into the first season. Now, of course, we want to win as many football games as we can, and we're going to attempt to do that. But understand our huge focus is those three things: attitude, character, and effort. And if our kids believe in those three things and start practicing those things, we're going to be pretty successful no matter what kind of talent we have, because that it's proven to be successful wherever we've been.
Coach Lee Kelly here. In looking at some research on you, I came across your records at Hanover. I knew you had gone to Hanover, but didn't realize you had over 6,000 all-purpose yards in football and scored 280 points. But then when I found the baseball, you hold school records in hits, stolen bases, and runs scored. So more than just an athlete from Hanover, you were a star athlete at Hanover.
Well, Lee, that was about 25 to 30 years ago and about 50 pounds ago, too. Yeah, Hanover was a great place for me. I had great coaches, not only at Hanover, but in high school that led me to Hanover. I played for Coach Perry, who was one of the greatest football coaches in the state of Indiana. And then Coach Naylor was the baseball coach as well. And those two guys were instrumental in my success and also our team's success at Hanover. And then the great education that you received there as well. And it's just up the road. And I know that, I know some of my guys from Floyd Central are heading up there this fall to play football. Matt Weimer and Jason Cundiff are going up there to play, so I'm excited about that.
Through the years, we have had a lot of coaches and assistant coaches that have come from Hanover. It seems like an unusual amount of people make their way back to somewhere around this area and end up in coaching. Is there a particular reason? And you're the perfect person to ask. Mm-hmm. Played there and became a head coach down here. So yeah. What is it about Hanover that leads these young men to end up in coaching?
Well, I think it's just the great coaching that we got at Hanover that led us into this profession. You know, and I think, like Coach Dennison at Providence is a Hanover guy. Coach Dablo at Silver Creek's a Hanover guy. I mean, you're right. It goes on and on down here, not just in football, but in all of our sports. It's just they teach you great leadership qualities and let you, we've had some great success. And, we want to pass that on to the next generation as we're teaching and coaching these younger kids.
Brian Gleason, head football coach at Jeffersonville. Let's get back to your team at Jeffersonville. We talked about how important of a summer this would be for you to learn what you've got, to get your thoughts and methods put in as you take that football program in your direction. What have you learned so far about what's there, what's there to work with, and maybe some of the top players you think right away are going to have to step up and help you lead you in season one at Jeffersonville?
Well, what I've learned so far is that we're having a great summer. We like I said, I told our kids, way back when I took the job in May, the tortoise wins the race, the old race between the tortoise and the hare. We're taking things real slow. And I say the tortoise wins the race in the long run, and that's what we're doing. Some of these other programs are going to be doing lots of different things and going here and going there. We're taking it, not saying we're taking it easy, but we're working on setting the foundation in our weight room, strength and conditioning wise, and in the attitude and character and effort things that we need to work on. And we've had a great start to the summer. Actually, summer's starting to wind down now as we start here in a couple weeks. But some guys that I think that have really a couple of seniors that have done a great job. It's always tough, for these seniors here. And Jeff, this will be their third head coach, and for most of them. We had Coach Oldham there as they came in as a freshman, and then Coach Oldham, there was their coach until right up until the start of the season there that one summer. And then Coach Browning took over as an interim, and now myself. So some of these guys have heard a lot of different philosophies on football, and that's tough as a senior. And so some of these guys like DeAndre Rutherford, Chaz Hickman, Daniel Watson, Jason Taylor, all these guys, and there's others, these seniors have done a great job of leading us this first summer, because it's frustrating when you're a senior, because you've learned one system, now you got to learn another one. Alex Macaluso, Isaac Hall, Gabe Carter, Patrick Jones, Aquan Terrell, Nate Phillips, all these guys have done a great job of helping in this transition to a new system and a new style of football.
Talking with Brian Gleason, the head coach at Jeffersonville, takes over for his first season as the Red Devils' boss on the gridiron. Coach, I do not envy the start to your season. August 17th, you guys go down to Pulaski County. Always a fun event to begin the year. They take their football very, very serious down in that part of Kentucky, and it's always a really good barometer for Jeffersonville to find out exactly where they're at, because no matter who you play down there, you're going to play somebody that's really good.
Yeah, and honestly, as the head coach here, folk, I haven't even focused on any of our opponents yet. I'm focusing on our kids. But you're right. Going down there for that little bowl game tournament series is going to be fun and exciting. And that's on August 17th. But the week before that, on August 10th, we go up and scrimmage probably the number one team in the state, Warren Central. So we've got a heck of a start with a scrimmage. God, that doesn't count against your wins and losses. But Warren Central, not only are they going to be probably ranked number one, will probably be ranked top 10 in the country. So that's a heck of a start. But that'll get you ready, that's for sure. But I think our kids. So not only do we have two tough games, we have two long trips. So we've got two long road trips to make before we get into conference play. But, yeah, our schedule is as tough as anybody's because our non-conference game in the middle of the season, we play Cathedral. Mm. So Cathedral will be a top five team. And this schedule, there are no cupcakes.
Coach, you have a lot of familiarity with teams here in Southern Indiana, obviously. Who can we look for in the Hoosier Hills Conference to be surprising teams and be good teams this year, as well as other teams around Southern Indiana that might hit the headlines across the state?
Well, I think, of course, when you talk to the Hoosier Hills Conference, it's going to be Columbus East. They did lose a lot of people. And I know that they will be changing some of their offensive scheme a little bit. So it'll be interesting to see as we go through the season how they react, they've got the unbelievable winning streak in the conference. So when you talk about the Hoosier Hills, of course Columbus East, and then of course I'm still partial to Floyd Central. I think they've got a lot of great players coming back. I think they've got a good shot at second place, and then I think New Albany and Bedford. I think New Albany, Bedford, and Floyd will all be fighting for that second-place spot. I think Bedford is going to be a team that's going to be really, really good. And I know Coach Cooley's second year at New Albany, they're going to be real good too. So I think Columbus East, Floyd Central, New Albany, and Bedford will all be there in that, I don't know what order, but all be in that top four. And hopefully we can get Jeffersonville back up there fighting for that top spot. And a couple other teams, I think, outside our conference. Of course, I think Providence is going to be real good. What Coach Dennison has done there is I think they're going to be real, real good. They'll continue on after winning what they won last year. Silver Creek, Coach Dabble has done an amazing job there. I know they graduated a lot, but I think they'll be pretty good. And I think the surprise might be Charlestown. I think Coach Hawkins has got some players there this year that'll do some interesting things. So I think those teams will all be pretty good.
Brian Gleasing, head coach at Jeff Football, joining us. Don't forget, August 8th, a Wednesday night, we'll be at Zaxby's in New Albany for the Zaxby's High School Football Kickoff Show from 7 to 9. Coach Gleasing and all the area coaches will join us, in addition to some of the top players as well. When we get to that point of August, the football season is just around the corner. We'll be talking with other head coaches each Thursday between now and then to kind of get you ready for an early preview. Coach, you mentioned the scrimmage at Warren Central, obviously the game down in Pulaski County, Kentucky, to start the season. After that, you'll come back and get into conference play with a game at Seymour. So a lot of road games and a lot of tough games early for your team. I think people forget Jeffersonville now the only 6A team in our immediate area. And you know what that sectional lineup looks like. You know who comes out of 6A each and every year. You've got to get that schedule where I think you've got it at to get your kids ready for what's going to happen at the end of the season in tournament time. So kudos to you guys for taking on Warren Central in a scrimmage, for scheduling Cathedral in the middle of the season, and not being afraid to play some very first-class football programs.
We hope it pays off, Matt. There's always two or three different ways to look at those things. I'm going to be honest. I don't know. I don't think we're going to go undefeated. That's for sure. But you throw Columbus East in there as a conference opponent. That's a defending state champ. So, yeah, that's always been my philosophy. At Floyd Central, we scheduled Louisville Male to open up the season. I love playing a tough opponent to open it up, and I think that really benefited us at Floyd Central when we played Male to start the season off. That got us ready for the conference season, And hopefully it pays off here as well.
Brian Gleason, head coach at Jeff Football. Coach Gleason, we will see you at Zaxby's on Wednesday, August 8th for the kickoff show. We'll be talking with you on a regular basis during the football season as we preview on Fridays. Always fun to catch up on those game day chats about some of the big rivalries in Southern Indiana football. We look forward to continuing to work very closely with you now that you're down in Jeffersonville.
Well, I appreciate it, Matt, and I'm looking forward to the football season. Looking forward to talking to you some more.
Absolutely. Brian Gleason, head coach at Jeffersonville. Enjoy the rest of the summer, Coach. We'll talk with you soon.
Thank you very much.
That will just about wrap up our program today. Don't forget, we do the Hoosier Report each weekday, 11 a.m. You can catch the replay here on the Big X most days at 3 p.m. and podcasting available shortly after we wrap up the live show. A couple different ways you can find that. SoundCloud, just type in the Hoosier Report, or point your browser directly to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. And we're also in Apple Podcasts. You just have to type the Hoosier Report if you're a listener. I know we've had a lot of new listeners coming on here in the last couple weeks. Make sure on Apple Podcasts you leave us a rating and a review. That'll help us reach others that might be interested in listening to the Hoosier Report as well. Lee Kelly, thanks for being with me, not just today, but a lot of days this week. We've got Little League Baseball again tonight. I'll see you at the ballpark.
Sounds good. Can't wait.
That'll wrap it up. Thanks for being with us. We'll return tomorrow and be joined by Jason Delaney, the coach at Indianapolis Cathedral, who is also the coach of the Indy Heat team. We'll catch up with him from down at the Peach Jam. We'll be joined by Jared Morris and much more coming up on our Friday show. So stay with us for that tomorrow, 11 a.m., right here on the Big X Sports Radio.